Well, hallelujah. Shabbat shalom to each and every one. Let me get all my things together here. I got a little story to share with you all also to go along with this sermon. And that psalm or the little poem that Faith read, I think that'll go good with the sermon. I think the second selection will go good with Brother Javon's message. And I'm curious to hear Brother Javon's message, and I haven't even got started yet. So Shabbat Shalom, greetings to those watching online, especially the brethren in the great state of Texas, and also the brethren in the Caribbean. And if you like, also remember Brother Joel Butcher for prayer. He had an operation last week, so he's still kind of recovering. A faithful brother in the faith, if you can remember Brother Joel Butcher. So once again, Shabbat Shalom to everyone here, and all the brethren that are going to watch this or hear this sermon later, we pray that Yahweh's blessings are with you. This message, as you see the title, you see the picture there. I know a lot of people on the audio, they won't be able to see the pictures. I got a luggage there. And so what do we bring in the luggage? We bring baggage in the luggage. But I titled this, Give Him Your Burdens. If you go in your scriptures to Matthew 11, Matthew chapter 11, I don't have this one on the screen here. Matthew chapter 11 and verses 28 to 30. Those are the last verses there. As most of us know, Yahshua said in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 to 30. It reads there, Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. And ye shall find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Sometimes some of these words, you know, they don't make a lot of sense sometimes because of the way they're worded. But if you study this verse here, and what I want to get at, my first point, notice Yahshua said to bring him your burdens. And I have a picture of a baggage up here. So the scripture says, give him your burden, not your baggage. So I'm giving you a hint of what I'm going to get at. Okay? If you also go to Jeremiah in chapter 6, some of these you can write down. Make sure you double check me. I have mine here. I put notes on them there to make sure. Jeremiah chapter 6 and verse 16. It reads there, Thus said Yahweh, Stand in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where the good way is, and walk in it, and find rest for yourselves. But they said, We do not walk in it. So here are comforting scriptures. Yahweh is not only telling the people in the time of Jeremiah, he's telling us. Some of us that came from different churches, you might have been an atheist, whatever the case, you come into Yahweh's truth. He said, ask for these things, right? Where the good way is. Not only that, but walk in it. And on top of that, you're going to find rest. You're going to have peace in your soul. This is one of the things. If you look at the news, there's a lot of unrest. When you have peace in your heart and your soul, you know, you can't put a price on that. So many scripture believers want spiritual cruise control. When I drove to Philadelphia, there's no cruise control on the car. Think about that. I mean, that's a tough trip. But think about it. Scripture believers, they want spiritual cruise control, but they're mired in Egypt. You see, we want those things. Give me this here. Give me that. I want it fast. I want it now. You know, with Yahweh, it takes time for us to mature. Even Yahshua had to grow up just like us, one day at a time. No different. He didn't grow up to be 30 years old right away. So you see a picture here. This is Jamaica here. I mean, how many of us wish we can be in Jamaica relaxing, right? You know, palm trees, you know, have you a drink on a beach, whatever the case might be. But then some of us are here in Egypt. The people of Israel, they came out of Egypt. They brought out a mixed multitude. We hear about that every Passover. And what was wrong with Egypt? I mean, we just heard about Abraham. He went to Egypt. What happened? Well, if you had a beautiful wife, the king would just kill you and take your wife if he liked her. That's how they did business. But Yahweh doesn't do business like that. So Abraham told a half a truth. She was his half-sister, and yet she was his wife. You know, that was allowed at that time. So anyway, what's the point that I'm trying to get at? Well, if you watched the last Discover the Truth Talk Live, there was a topic there that the elders expounded upon, and it's not scriptural. And they tackled a lot of different subjects, and some of them they didn't get to. But we know about all these false doctrines going around. They're not scriptural. So many of us, we need to come clean. We arrive at Yahweh's assembly with cards full of baggage. And when it's time to be corrected, we don't want to admit that the traditions or doctrines we picked up do not line up with Scripture. We all know about this. We heard about this. There's different things going around. Sometimes we encounter them at the Feast of Tabernacles or maybe Passover, Unleavened Bread. Now, here's a little story that I found. I think it'll go good. It'll make its point, go along with this here. It says a poor man in Ireland was plodding along toward home, carrying a huge bag of potatoes. A horse and wagon finally drew up alongside him on the road, and the driver invited the man to climb aboard. After getting on the wagon, he sat down but continued to hold the heavy bag. When the driver suggested that the man set the bag down in the wagon, he replied, "I don't want to trouble you too much, sir. You're giving me a ride already, so I'll just carry the potatoes." How foolish of him, we say. Yet sometimes we do the same thing when we attempt to bear burdens of our lives in our own strength. No wonder we become weary and overwhelmed with anxiety and fear. You might have issues you're dealing with. All of us have issues we're dealing with. Some of them might not be false doctrine, but it might be family situations. The brethren on the prayer list, they have situations they're dealing with. How do they go about it? They ask the assembly to remember them in prayer. That's one way to go about it. I'm sure they're also praying on their own, but it sure doesn't it give you a satisfaction? Sometimes we might be prideful, say, I can do this on my own. What I like to do sometimes is, I know that I can do certain things on my own, but you know what? Just to put down the pride, I'll ask someone, can you give me a hand? Can you help me out? And that way, when I see you, that you need help, I can help you out. You know, that gives you satisfaction. You might do this with scriptures. Maybe you think you know the word back and forth. When you read Revelation, I mean, it's only obvious to us that there's so many things in there that we don't know yet. We just can't clamp it down. But sometimes we know when false doctrine is, you know, trying to be introduced into the assemblies. And as we heard from the sermon last week, I mean, Brother Michael brought up a lot of interesting points, and some of the arguments I would use myself. But, you know, since listening to that sermon, you look for different, whatever advantage you can use to publish Yahweh's word, to proclaim it. That's the same thing that Paul did. That's the same thing that the brothers did. Like Yahshua, for instance, how did he teach us? He taught us by, number one, by his example, by living the word. And number two, he always picked something that would relate to you, whatever your field was. He would talk to you, you know, in that area, and you could relate to him better. If you go to Luke chapter 19 and verse 10, this one I have up here, if you want to write it down. I don't have the whole verse put up there, but I have the scripture there. Luke chapter 19 and verse 10. Once again, Luke 19 and verse 10. Very simple, very, very clear. Anyone can understand it. It says, "For the Son of Adam has come to seek and to save what was lost." So that's what Yahshua came to do. He came to proclaim Yahweh's message, the evangel, of course. But he was a shepherd, it says. So he came to look for the sheep that were lost. So at one time, you know, the kingdom of Israel, they were strong. They were doing good. Some of them went astray a little bit. So now they need a shepherd. Many of us had no idea we were lost. It's as if Yahweh tapped us on the shoulder and asked, "Do you know where you're headed?" Sometimes we ask people that, you know where you're going? Are you sure? Only then did we say to ourselves, you know what, come to think of it, I'm headed the wrong way. Has that ever happened to you? I mean, even you might even know the way, you just took a wrong turn. Oh, wait a minute, I have to turn around. That's what repentance is, turn around. You were going this way, Yahweh said, no, turn around, come back to me. Yahshua is the map to salvation, regardless of what any naysayer would have us believe. If you look around, we don't like to talk bad about certain people, but there are certain brothers out there that they can't realize that Yahshua already came and that he died for our sins. They're still struggling with that. You know, they're stuck in a tradition where they feel like they have to deny Yahshua. They haven't come to that knowledge yet. But Yahshua already came and he died for our sins. Yahshua also teaches us a lesson in Matthew 12. Matthew 12, verses 43 on down to 45. Matthew chapter 12, verses 43 to 45. It reads there, "Now when the unclean spirit goes out of a man, he goes through dry places seeking rest and finds none. Then it says, I shall return to my house from which I came. And when it comes, it finds it empty, swept, and decorated. Then it goes and takes with it seven other spirits more wicked than itself, and they enter and dwell there. And the last of that man is worse than the first. So shall it also be with this wicked generation." What is that telling me? There were certain brethren. They came into the faith. They got immersed. They humbled themselves. But maybe there was still some pride there. Maybe they were still struggling with certain doctrines and they just couldn't get over it. Somehow, some way, the evil one crept in, and what do you know? They're back into the world. We know of some people that have fallen away. Maybe it was pride. I don't know. Maybe it was something else. We don't know. Only they know. Maybe it was rejection. Maybe it was persecution. Whatever the case might be, they ended up worse than when they started. They took on Yahshua's blood, and come to think of it, you know, they changed their mind. They said they made a mistake. Well, it's a proven fact that believing in false doctrine is a sin. If done in ignorance, you will not be chastised as if you knew better, but it will be dealt with one way or another. If you want, you can just look in the Torah, and there's an offering that you have to do if you sin in ignorance. You see, so you can't just claim that you're ignorant, that you don't know. Because every day we go outside, we see the sun, the moon, the stars. That's Yahweh's creation. Why did he put it out there? So that we see it. So that we know that he did these things through Yahshua HaMashiach. So see, we don't have an excuse. Now we can say that to Yahweh, well, I didn't know. Well, they didn't teach me right. You still have to pay for that, even if it's done in ignorance. The police officer, he might stop you. He might say, hey, did you know such and such? You say, no, I didn't know. He said, okay, I'll let you slide this time, but next time, I'm not going to be so nice. You can find that in Acts chapter 17 and verse 30. I don't have that one up here. Acts chapter 17 and verse 30. Once again, Acts chapter 17, verse 30, it says, "Truly then, having overlooked these times of ignorance, Elohim now commands all men everywhere to repent, not just some of them, not just the women and the children, all men." This includes all of us. If you're at an age where you're mature enough to understand, for instance, if you're at an age where you understand that your parents told you not to do such and such, your parents are going to punish you as if you knew better, because they already told you these things, not to do such and such, not to disobey them. And such it is. So also in Luke chapter 12, we get another lesson here. Luke 12 and verse 47. This is another story Yahshua's telling us to get us a point across. Luke 12, 47, it reads, "And that servant which knew his master's will and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. But he that knew not, and did commit things worthy of stripes, shall be beaten with few stripes. For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required. And to whom men have committed much, of him they shall ask the more." So Yahweh is going to look to the elders. He's going to hold them in a higher standard, because why? They know better. people that are not as, as scripturally smart as some of the elders, he's not going to hold you in such a high regard. But at the same time, you know, the elders that are worthy of double honor, Yahweh is going to honor that also. So here you have, if you know Yahweh's truth and you want to insist on false doctrine, Yahweh is going to judge you accordingly. If you know better, then you have to act accordingly. If you go to Ephesians chapter 5, Ephesians chapter 5, I was going to ask a couple of brothers here. I don't know if they noticed some of these slides, but by the way, this is the Dead Sea here. I know some of the brothers that went to Israel. So we have Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 5. And I have another scripture here on this screen here. And Brother Michael Bannock referred to it last week, Proverbs 18:10. The name of Yahweh is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and are saved. Why do we run into that tower? Because that's Yahweh's name. It's holy. It's special. Yahshua held it in high regard. We can't play with it as if it's a toy. When you get baptized into Yahshua's name, you're getting immersed into the family of Yahweh. And so there you have, there's an analogy there. The name of Yahweh is a strong tower. But going back to Ephesians 5:5, if you have your hand there, Ephesians 5:5, it reads, "For this we know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of the Messiah and of Yahweh." So we link together a covetous man. I got a lot of experience in coveting, as Paul said. If you're a coveter, you're an idolater. Why? Because you're putting these things that you're coveting in front of Yahweh, whatever it is. Whatever it is. Think about it. Whatever it is. It doesn't matter what it is. Yahweh created it. If you put it before Yahweh, you're an idolater. That's what it says, a covetous man. It also includes other characteristics here, but we just focus on that. So, continuing with that theme, a covetous man is an idolater. If you hold on to any false doctrine and you insist on forcing it into the scriptures or on any congregation, that makes you an idolater, because you're viewing the false doctrine as more important than Yahweh's truth. This is what we have. We have our book. The song says, "This is my daily bread," right? You can read it every day of your life, and you still won't know a lot about Yahweh. He leaves you in the dark. He wants it that way. That's how he wants it. That's how we stay hungry. You know how sometimes you get what you want, you need something else to motivate you. You said, "That's it. I'm not satisfied. I want more." You eat, you didn't have enough, you're not satisfied, you want more. When you had enough, okay, I'm satisfied, I'm good. Such it is with the truth. That's how it is with fellowship. The brethren don't have a place to fellowship. They go to Tabernacles, they can't get enough. They stay up late, they don't get enough sleep. I don't blame them. I mean, I used to be there too. I'll stay out till 2, 3 in the morning, you know. I mean, if I don't have a responsibility, but still, Yahweh wants us to rest. So you get up fresh the next day and praise Yahweh all over again. That's the purpose of it. Brother Javon was looking for a rainbow last time. Talking about that last week. Some of the Pharisees were not only covetous, the scripture states that, but the scripture tells us they were very strict in observing some of Yahweh's truth. Yahshua didn't fault them for this. He said, "I mean, you guys are real good at doing certain observances, but there was a problem. They like to put their own traditions before Yahweh's commandments. They like to put their own traditions ahead of Yahweh's commandments. You know, you're getting on my case because of how I wash my hands." When Yahshua said, you know, it really doesn't matter, you know, what enters, it's what comes out. That's your true character, what comes out, what we say. What we say and what we do, ultimately they'll match. That's why the scripture says, by our fruits, people are going to know us. And also, by the love that we have for one another, that's how outsiders will come in and they'll say, "These are Yahweh's people." Why? Because they have authentic love for one another. Some people come here, Some of them, you know, they cry because, you know, the love that they feel sometimes. That's how it is. Some people, they feel more closer to the brethren here than to their own family. That's just how it is. And so when we're busy spreading false doctrine, you know, we're wasting our time. It's like you're bringing leavening to the Feast of Unleavened Bread. It says in the scriptures, don't bring leaven, you know, to the feast. What do? You bring leaven anyway, on purpose. You say, it's okay, it's all right, don't worry about it. Abba will forgive it. I'm under grace. You see? So some people get upset because you want to observe Yahweh's commandments. Others are surprised and shocked. Wow, you all are trying to keep Yahweh's commandments? I can't believe it. I mean, I thought we just, you know, sit back, relax. No, that's not how Yahweh is. Yahweh is about love. Yahweh is about faith. And Yahweh is about obedience. All those three ingredients among many, many others. He definitely wants his people to obey him. If people come with false doctrine, he wants us to rebuke them. But, I mean, you don't even have to sometimes lose your cool. You just take them to the scriptures and say, well, you know, may Yahweh help you in this area. May he convict you. And, you know, as the elders, you know, they tell us and they always remind us, you have a difference of opinion, just wait till afterwards and talk to them. Be a man about it. You know, don't go around whispering. And so getting back to the other subject, that's not bringing your burdens to Yahshua. You're bringing baggage to the assembly. So we have to separate the two. You bring your burdens to Yahweh. You say, Yahweh, I need help. That's just it. I'm having a problem here. I'm having a problem there. It feels like the world is caving in. I got a problem. I need help. A lot of times that's difficult for a lot of us because we might know how to fix things. But, I mean, look at a lot of the people out there where, you know, in the public eye, oh, everything is perfect. But, you know, behind closed doors, you know, their world is caving in and they don't know how to deal with it. So it is with addiction. If you ever had an addiction, you know what I'm talking about. You're never, 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 never out of the woods if you had an addiction. You know, sometime down the road, you might fall, you might slip. It happens. This is what happens. And so it is with people that maybe they have a problem with control. They like to control everything. I want to be in control. Look at the Pharisees. Yahshua said, the kingdom of Yahweh suffers violence. People take it. They want to put it in a headlock. This is my kingdom. You can't get in unless you come through our assembly. You see? When John came, you know, they weren't really, they didn't really believe in him, some of them. They were asking him questions. Who are you? What are you doing here? Are you Elijah? Who are you? Are you Jeremiah? When Yahshua came, it got even worse. Here's the son of Yahweh. You know? As that one scripture says, you know, they wanted to kill the heir so that they could take over the inheritance. Yahshua gave us an analogy, you know. Yahweh set up his vineyard. He sent people to work out there. And then he sent people to collect of the fruits. And he sent them all these servants, you know. They beat them, you know. And they sent them away empty-handed. When Yahshua came, they said, oh, this is the heir. Let's kill him. And we'll take the inheritance for ourselves. This is how it is with some people. They don't. Not only do they not enter, the scripture says, but they don't want you to enter in also. So we try to do it lovingly. If there's a problem with false doctrine, once again, speak to the elders. I mean, speak to the elders and bring your burdens to Yahweh. Bring your burdens to Yahshua, those things that bother you, those things that hinder you the most from following Yahweh. You know, a lot of times in your mind, you're saying to yourself, I'm just not there. I just can't follow Yahweh the way that I think he wants me to follow him. And that is 100%. We know that. We ourselves know that because Yahweh puts it in our heart. In Psalm 119, here's a picture of Greece here. I don't know if some might recognize this, but the beautiful pictures. This is Yahweh's creation. This is what you have here. Many of us, you know, we don't have money to tour the world. You know, well, others tour and they save us images so that we can see what Yahweh has out there. Yahweh's creation is beautiful. He made it. It says in Genesis, after he was done, everything is good. Scripture says in Psalm 119 and verse 160, 119 of Psalm and verse 160, thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever. So there's no false doctrine in Yahweh's word. It says in the scriptures that when the people were led out of Egypt, what does it say? It says, there was no foreign Elohim among you. There was Yahweh, there was Yahshua. Yahshua was the rock that followed them. That's all they had. They disobeyed Yahweh. They tested Yahweh. They put Yahweh to the test 10 times. So Yahweh had to punish them. And parting scripture, if you would, so that this might seem kind of negative for a lot of people. You know, it might seem like a rebuke, stepping on toes. But in 1 Corinthians 12:31, at some point, we've all believed in things that weren't scriptural, and we had to come to the knowledge of truth. 1 Corinthians 12:31. Again, in 1 Corinthians 12:31, it reads there, the Apostle Paul writes, but covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. So coveting is not always bad. Coveting, you can translate that desire earnestly. Yahshua said that his last Passover, he desired greatly to keep that Passover with the apostles. So he was coveting that last Passover because he knew it would be his last for a long time. As a news person was saying yesterday, they asked him about a certain situation in the nation's capital. He told the people there, stop it. Stop running around preaching and publishing false doctrine and expecting the people of Yahweh to endorse it. This is Yahweh's message. This is what the prophets were telling the people right there in Jeremiah, in Isaiah, in Ezekiel. Stop believing in these false prophets. You know, stop intermarrying with these outsiders. You know, they kind of rub off on us the bad habits. As the scripture said, the name of Yahweh is a strong tower. It's not weak or frail like those so-called pagan mighty ones. You see the names of these pagan mighty ones. You know, they went to great lengths to preserve their name. But as Brother Michael said once again, when it came to Yahweh's name, they said it doesn't really matter. Just put these vowel points there so the people don't know. But see, you know, we dig deep. We go beyond that Hebrew and the Greek, and Abba opens up our minds. If we're humble enough to receive Yahweh's truth, he will open up your mind. You don't want to end up on this road here in Death Valley. That's not a good place to be. Yahweh wants us to be alive with his truth. Put your hope and trust in Yahweh and not man. Sometimes when we put too much expectations on one another, we fail one another. But when we trust in Yahweh, he always comes through for us. Thank you all for your time to share the word of Yahweh with you. Hallelujah. May Yahweh bless you.